Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
Are you guys pumped? We're almost to June. We still have pretty decent weather. You got to be pumped about that if you're from Bakersfield, right? PG&E bills haven't skyrocketed yet. Oh, thank you, PG&E. Everybody having a good day so far? Yeah? Did you come here expecting to receive? This is why I say this anytime that I ever speak, and I'm Shane, by the way. I would shake your hand, but then it'd be really awkward. Everybody would have to wait, and for those of us that don't know each other properly. But every time that I do get a chance to speak, I always want to open with that, because I think sometimes we go on autopilot a lot, no matter what we're doing. Whether we're going to work, we take the same ways to work every day. I'm that type of person where I'm going down the road, and then all of a sudden I'm like six lights down, and I'm like, I don't even remember getting to this point. I don't remember passing the first five streets to get here. And I think sometimes when we come to church, it can be a little autopilot type of thing to where we come here and we go like, I'm doing my Christian duty. But there is a faith that's intertwined with expectancy. Basically what I'm saying is, as we come and if we don't hear anything from God, we're like, what's going on, Lord? We're gonna hear something from the Lord tonight, amen? And it's not gonna be me. Hopefully, I got all my sin taken care of. No, you're serious. I'm being serious. But let me pray before I say anything I shouldn't say, and then we'll get right into it. Is that cool with you? God, Lord of the universe, we believe. We believe in you. There's that song that says, we believe in you. We believe that you're the God of miracles. And God, I pray, you know, Lord, each and every one of us, what we're going through tonight. You know, some of us, it's a tough season. Some of us, it's okay. Some of us, it's good. But whatever season we're in, God, we need you. We need to hear from you. We want to experience you, God. And so I pray that you do only what you can do, and that is have your Holy Spirit speak and move and ignite a fire in each and every one of us here this evening, that we would not leave here the same in which we came. God, give us something, one little nugget, anything. Experiencing your Spirit is what we long for, God. We love you. We thank you. We thank you for health and life. In Jesus' name, if you believe in that, say amen. Have you ever ran into an old friend, maybe from high school, or maybe you didn't necessarily run into them, but you've seen them from afar? Maybe it's, for me, I was out hanging out outside the high school before service, and they were talking about the new Aladdin movie. And I said, man, I remember when that Aladdin movie first came out. I said, you probably weren't even born. And they were like, oh yeah, I was born in 2006. And I was I graduated high school in 2002. Makes me feel old, but you know, you run into a person you haven't seen in a long time and they haven't changed one bit. They're like the same person. So imagine for those of us that have been graduated from high school for some time, there's some people that we've went to high school with and maybe we're just following up with them on social media, but they're still the same person. Like you run into the guy, he's leaving the 7-Eleven, man, on a Friday. You're like, Steve. He's like, what's up, dude? You're like, what are you doing? I'm just going to this party down the street. What are you doing? I'm just, you know, getting some gas. I got my kids at home, you know, probably going to watch a movie, chill inside the house. The same person, the same guy from years and years ago. He hasn't grown one bit. How many people know somebody like that? You might be that person for somebody else, I'm not sure. No judgment here. I'm titling tonight's message, Am I Growing? If you have a notepad or maybe a smartphone, maybe you're, you know, maybe new to church and you're like notes, taking notes, what is this? Basically, this idea of taking notes is, if you're anything like me, you can ask me what the sermon was about by the time I get home and I'm going like, he said something about the Lord. I know he said something about the Lord. So taking notes helps us to refresh. If you're a person that goes back and hopefully you have good handwriting, then you can understand what you wrote. But tonight's message is, am I growing? I want to always put up a definition. That way we're always on the same page of what we're talking about here when I mean grow. This is the definition of grow. It's a working definition. It's to undergo natural development, increasing in size or physical attributes, progress in maturity. For those of us, we're all growing. Most of us are growing, I hope. For those of us that maybe are in school, our intelligence is growing, our brains are growing, you know? Maybe stress is growing. For those of us that have children, patience is growing, hopefully. Our love is growing. Not our bank accounts, of course. When you have kids, you just, at least for me, I cry every time I look at my bank account now that I have children. My wife, she always clowns me for my clothes. And if you're wondering, oh man, you're pretty nicely dressed. This is like the best outfit I got. So I'm just saying, when you have kids, my wife's always just like, you need to up your game, is what she says. You need to up your game. And I said, well, I can't up my game when I'm upping your guys' game. You know what I mean? So somebody's getting the Target stuff while you guys get, you know, the Nordstrom Rack stuff. But if you're having kids, you're growing in some areas. If you're in a relationship, trust is growing. Love as well. For those of you that are in a trial, maybe your endurance is growing. For those of us that are carb lovers, how many carb lovers do I have out there? Carbohydrates? You bread fans? Some other places are growing. Others of us are growing in not so fun areas. Some of us are growing in laziness. Some of us are growing in bitterness and resentment. Selfishness. The fact of the matter is we are all growing in one area or another. But tonight I want to focus on our spiritual growth. Say spiritual growth. You're still alive with me. I love these two quotes. The first one says this, the path of spiritual growth is a path of lifelong learning. The other one says this, if a man does not exercise his arm, he develops no bicep muscle. And if a man does not exercise his soul, he acquires no muscle in his soul, no strength of character, no vigor or moral fiber, nor beauty of spiritual growth. The Bible is sprinkled all throughout with this idea of growing in our faith. It's this main concept that when we come to know Jesus, whether you've raised your hand, you said a prayer, you've made a decision in your heart to live for Christ, that is not the end game. Life doesn't stop there. It starts there. But so many of us, sometimes we get that way of thinking that when, okay, we got into the church and okay, I've been coming for a while, or maybe my friend's been ministering to me, however it is that you came to the Lord, you feel like, okay, I've arrived now, I've accepted Jesus, I have him as my Savior. Oh, what an accomplishment, that was so hard. But life only starts there. Jesus says over and over, I have eternal life for you. It's that we have a life here now that we are followers of Jesus, that this great experience, not necessarily meaning that life's always gonna be good, but we're gonna experience things that we did not experience in the world. We are gonna see things that we did not see in the world only if we continue to grow. Okay, yeah, that's good. Sometimes I try to start the clap myself so I can be like the guy that started the clap. Other times I'm like, you know, the person out here where I'm. So anyways, 1 Corinthians 3:1-3, here's a couple verses, and I'm gonna throw a lot of verses at you tonight. So again, bear with me. And I, brethren, this is Paul speaking, could not speak to you as spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, as to infants in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not yet able to receive it. Indeed, even now you are not yet able. For you are still fleshly, for since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly and are you not walking like mere men? Hebrews 5, 11 through 14 says this, concerning him we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature. Who's it for? The mature, who because of practice, say practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. 1 Peter 2, Peter says this, like newborn babies long for the pure milk of the word so that by it you may what? Grow in the respect of salvation. I thank you guys for playing along with me. 2 Peter 3:18 says this, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. In Hebrews 6:1, therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about the Christ, let us press on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. Tonight, I want to go over three areas that I believe to help build your spiritual maturity. The first one being this, and I could speak on this all day, night long, is community. You hear this word a lot in church. Ephesians 4:16 says this, from whom the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. If you picture this idea of spiritual growth like a plant, and I love that God created nature to where we could look at it and understand it's very similar to the way our life works. I don't know if you guys remember or not doing science projects back in elementary school. Most science fairs had the one project where the kid planted the seeds inside the cups. You know, and you got to watch the little tiger grow. You know, some of them died because they weren't taken care of or whatever. But I remember when you used to see that seed, the first thing that grew out of the seed was the roots. Community is the root of spiritual growth. I say root, root. Pastor Ron says root. I'm following right in his steps. Roots, root, root, whatever you want to call it. Because community provides two things. It probably provides more than two things, but we're just gonna go over two tonight. Stability and accountability. It provides an ability, community provides an ability that you yourself, you don't have. Stability and accountability. Proverbs 27:17 says this, we all know this verse well, iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. It baffles me how many people run away from this idea of community. They don't embrace it. They find it so hard, or they don't even want to connect in the church community. They say things like this, I'm not a real community type person. I'm not a people. I hate people. I can't, you know what I mean? I'm too busy for this. My grandma used to have this saying, that's a bunch of baloney. I figured baloney's fake meat, so that's just fake news or fake business. That's the meaning of the phrase. If you're wondering, why is this guy talking about food? I love food, obviously, but see, what happens is people tend to build for themselves this persona based upon their comforts and discomforts. I'm not a people person, so that defines me. That's just who I am. I'm not a people person. One part of the box. I'm not much of a reader, so I can't, read my word. another part of the box, and so on and so forth. Based on our comforts and discomforts, we as people, we build this identity that defines who we are. Except, no, it doesn't. We've just built that to make ourselves and other people believe that's who we are. The only person that defines who we are is God. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says this: therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Other translations say he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, the new things have come. You can leave this verse up for a second, guys. I used to get so frustrated at this verse. Because when I started to become a Christian and go to church and things of that nature, man, and not even just when I started, years after, I struggled being a Christian, not being my old self, old sins, old habits, things that popped up. Man, I struggled. I still struggle. And I'd look at this verse and I'd be like, God, you said I'm new. You told me I'm new. Why aren't I acting new? Why aren't I looking new? I'm not new. Did I not say the prayer right? Am I missing something? Has anybody ever felt this way before? A few of us. You know what God taught me about this? Although there is anything that is newly created, new creations still have to grow. New creations still have to grow. God has created a new you, and we just need to grow. Community helps me to be stable. The idea is this: with community, when I'm going through something, my community helps me. When they're going through something, I help them. And the more stuff that we go through together, the deeper the roots grow and the harder they are to remove. You see this, amen, amen. You see this when people come out of the world. It's the same idea. People have grown roots in their communities, in the world, their sin, their way of living, the friends that they had. They've grown roots. So when they come to church, it's not as easy as just saying, quit that habit. Give up that sin. There's roots that have dug deep for years that have to be uprooted, and it hurts, and it's tough, and it stings. And most of us, some of us, that's why we see so much circulation in the church world, meaning people come and they go, they come and then they leave, because it isn't for them. Because when it comes to uprooting those old roots, we say, ow, ow, no, no, that hurts, I can't handle that. But the idea of community is that there's many people going through that same uprooting that can help you be stable through those rough patches. Galatians 6:2 says this: bear one another's burdens. Bear one another's burdens. When's the last time you bore anybody's burdens around you that you know? I'm sure that can look many different ways. Community is displayed in the 12 disciples. We don't know why Jesus chose 12. A lot of theologians and people believe he chose 12 because there was 12 tribes of Israel. There's significant meaning there. But the idea is that Jesus knew that the men, the boys that would grow to be men, and the things that they would go through, they would need community. In Paul's missionary journeys, right? If you read in the New Testament, Paul went around to all these cities, and what did he go out for? He went out to preach the gospel. He went out to preach this new news of Jesus to the Gentiles and to Jews. But he started planting what? Churches, we would say, right? He planted churches. I would say he was planting communities. He was planting communities of people that would hold each other up during the time of persecution. Because when Paul was going around starting churches about Christ, Christian was never meant to be, oh, you're a cool Christian, you're in the Christian club. No, it was like, you're this Christian. The Jews hated it because it went against everything that they literally lived for. The Jews lived by the law. They spent their entire lives perfecting being good and obedient, and that was the way they got to heaven. And now this new way of Jesus that's open to Gentiles as well, which was an offense to the Jews because the Jews were the chosen people of God, they're just like, this is offensive. So not only was there persecution if you were a Christian from Jewish people that served the same God, but from Gentiles and all alike. And so Paul created communities in this place to create stability and accountability, which then those things cause the churches to grow. If you don't have stability and accountability and you don't have community, the church will not grow. It will not grow. It will continue to cycle in people and cycle out people because people aren't growing roots. If you want to grow roots in this church, can I tell you something? Invest your time in building community here. It says in the word, where your treasure is, that where your heart is also. I tried to say that. That's my translation. Where you invest your money, if you have any money and you're into investing, you kind of watch over that a lot. You care about it a lot. If you start investing in community inside of this church, you will begin to grow roots inside of this church. So on our journey of growing in faith and love and perseverance, patience. Acts 2, 44 through 47 says this, and all those who had believed were together and had all things in common, and they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord was adding to their number. The Lord was adding to their number because of what they were doing. Day by day, those were being saved. When's the last time we invited anybody in this church that we would, in a religious sense, call our brothers and sisters to have a meal? Half the problem is none of us know what the other one's going through to be able to even offer a service. Some people in here might be on their last $5. We don't even know. We have to get better at getting involved with the people that are in this room. I want to correct something, and into myself as well. Community isn't the speaker up here. Community is you out there. I can be a part of your community. But for some people, you say, well, I am a part of community. I'm a part of VBF. I come to church and I hear a sermon and then I leave and I go home and I come Wednesday. I go Sundays and I hear sermons and I leave and I go home. I tithe and I do all these things. It's the same sense of going like, oh, I need some faith. You know what I need to do? I need to go hear another sermon on faith. That's how my faith is going to grow. Oh man, I'm lacking in patience. I need to read another verse about patience. I need to go hear another sermon about patience because my patience is going to grow when I hear that sermon. No. Your patience is going to grow out in your community. Your faith is going to grow when you put feet to what you believe in. That's when you're going to grow. It's not to diminish anything that happens on the stage. It's the idea that we think that when we come to church and we hear a message that we're involved in a community. No, community is having people over to your house. Community is going to other people's houses. Community is getting a group of people together and going out on the streets and praying for people and feeding people and going finding people's needs. And when you grow, this church should have little pockets of communities. And then we get together and then we get to share. It's like when we get together for serving in September, it's like this little glimpse of an amazing community that we have within our big church, VBF. I love your claps. I have a few more quotes by Simon Sinek. He's an amazing author. I love him. He speaks a lot about business. But he says this, when we say out loud what we don't know, it increases the likelihood that someone who does know will offer help. Can I say that again? When we say out loud what we don't know, it increases the likelihood that someone who does know will offer help. He says, the value of our lives is not determined by what we do for ourselves. The value of our lives is determined by what we do for others. Amen? Community is accountability. We're all a bunch of messed up individuals on the same road. We got sins. We got struggles. We have hurts. We have pains. If we have no one to share those things with, you know what happens? The devil comes in to take you out because he wants to isolate you. You want to know why? Those weights, he wants to keep that weight of all of those things on your shoulder and not on the shoulders of a community that can help you. You want to know why? Because if you're carrying all that weight, you can't grow. And the devil doesn't want you to grow. The devil doesn't care if you believe in God. In James 2, it says, oh, you believe in God, so do the demons, and they shudder. The devil doesn't want you to have faith. Because the power that we have as Christians is not in our belief of God. I believe that God is real. I believe he died. He sent his son to die on the cross for my sins. I believe this. Our power, the power that we have as Christians is in our faith. It's in our faith. That's why he says, Jesus says, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move a mountain. He didn't say if you have belief the size of a mustard seed, you can move a mountain. Faith is an action. It's taking what you've considered thoughtfully and decided to put your belief in and then walking in such a manner that resembles that belief. The devil doesn't want you to have faith. He doesn't care if you have belief. And so if you have no community that can be you can be accountable to while you're working through your sin, while you're working through your struggles and your pains and your hurts, the devil will keep you down. Community gives you the support you need to conquer sin, resolve issues, and heal wounds. You might be saying, but I thought God did all of these things. Man, community is just an avenue in which the Holy Spirit moves. Ecclesiastes 4:12 says this, and if one can overpower him who is alone, two can resist him, and a cord of three strands is not quickly torn apart. We need each other. We have life groups here at this church. I know maybe some of you have heard this set up here. They usually take a break for summer, but we have like MOPS. So if you're a mother of a preschooler, we have Moms Next. So if you're a mom of a toddler, we have divorce care. If you're going through a divorce, we have grief share. If you've got a loss and you need someone to talk to, we have every man's battle. If you're dealing with pornography and lust, man, we have stuff that if you're dealing with depression, we have life groups that go out and meet at Starbucks. If you're a coffee fiend, Christian crack, what up? Hashtag that. Okay? People go like, what's that Christian crack stuff? Oh, that's for us that, you know, we're in the world doing real crack. And then when we got saved, we found an alternative and we called it Christian crack. It was called coffee. You still need to work on yourself though. Get with it. It's my fourth day without coffee, if you're wondering. I don't need no crutch. I don't need no crutch in my life. 4 days without coffee. I'm not saying I won't go back. But it doesn't have a hold on me. But life groups, they will be starting again. Back in September, end of August, September, we have Man Cave, we have the men's retreat that was in the announcements. I encourage, yes, set free, celebrate recovery if you're dealing with addiction or you're coming from addiction. We have financial peace. That's a life group. People that want to get their finances in order. Get involved in these things, please. And I promise you, you will see God move. You will grow roots because community builds roots. The second building block that I have for you this evening is this. Consistency. Ooh, This one's tough. Woo! See, a lot of people, they take this approach when they first get saved. I'm gonna start getting a good Devo life. I'm gonna start getting a good prayer life. Maybe you came out of a world of, a lot of addiction, or maybe you came out of a world and, that wasn't so bad. But we come in, we try to build this personal walk with God, and we fall, and we fall, and we fall, and we fall. That's the new dance. Teach your kids that. That's the new hotness. People do that first. I see things the other day, the other way around. It's not impossible, but you build a community, get involved in a community, and then you start to work. You can do it simultaneously, but the community has to be there first. So then when you start to build consistency in your devotional life and your prayer life, and you start trying to tackle your sins and your struggles and deal with your pains and your hurts, when you fall, you don't fall that hard because somebody's there to catch you. And what that does is, when you're not falling all the way to the ground and getting back up, but you're only falling into the arms of the community around you, it allows you to have consistency because it gives you the strength to continue to push forward in your devotional life. Right? Are you following me? If community is the roots, consistency is the stem. It's much the same concept of having a trainer at the gym or a workout buddy. Some of us treat our relationship with Jesus much like our gym memberships. And I know I'm not a picture perfect, example of health here. I'm the guy who goes, I have the buddy. Let's start going to the gym. Yeah, let's start working out. Oh yeah, let's go to InShape. I got a membership there. We'll work out every day. I'll be here, dude. We're gonna get so ripped. I go in and sign the paperwork, and then, oh man, yeah, my schedule changed at work. I'm not gonna be able to go to the gym in the morning. So I'm the guy that tries to go for a month, hit like one or two days, and then I go in, hey, I'd like to cancel my membership. Oh, we're sorry, you signed a 3-year contract. Oh, that's cool. I might as well be walking through the gym just throwing 20s at everybody on the machine. Here you go. Free cash for you. Free money for you. Been well spent. Better that than me. I'm the guy who's like, hey, do you go to the gym? Yeah. How often do you go? A couple months ago, I went a few times, Or God bless your souls. I'll be out and about, and maybe you'll get into conversation. Oh, you go to church? Oh, that's cool. You go to church? What church do you go to? VBF? No kidding. So do I. And they're like, yeah, I love Pastor Rick over there. And you're just like, Pastor Rick, huh? Okay. All right, buddy. God bless your soul. Pastor Ron, is that who you're talking about? My goodness. But we lack consistency. If we want to grow, we have to become consistent. I love this quote. I'm sharing a lot of quotes with you. It's by William Law. He says this: if you stop and ask yourself why you are not so devoted as the early Christians were, your own heart will tell you that it is neither through ignorance nor inability, but purely because you never thoroughly intended it. If you've ever asked yourself why I can't be like the early Christians, devoted like them, he's basically saying, if you really search deep down inside, you never really wanted to put in the effort to be like them. Because it takes consistency. It takes consistency. It would look something like this. I join a community. Community of buddies. I'm at a Bible study. They help me get into the habit of reading my word. They teach me what the word is about. They teach me how to pray. This in turn creates in me a joy and a motivation to begin to start a personal walk for myself, where I have a prayer life and devotions and things at home. And if I tend to fall off, guess who's there to help me? My life group, my community. And then what's crazier is, the more this cycle progresses, the stronger I get in my own personal walk because of my community behind me. And therefore, I circle back around and I become a strong pillar for the next person that's seeking a community to help them progress stronger. It's called discipleship 101. It's crazy. See, when we're consistent in our walks with God, when we're consistent with seeking after him, the weight of our sin seems lighter. In Matthew 11, 28 through 30, it says this. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This idea of coming to Jesus is a consistent coming to Jesus. And when we consistently come to Jesus, the weight of our sin seems lighter, our afflictions seem less painful, and our struggles seem smaller. Because we no longer see God in the light of a belief. We no longer believe who God is. We have a faith of who our God is. Because when we were going through the trial, our community was there to give us support to continue to be consistent in our pursuit of Christ, which then led us to the feet of Jesus more often, and that's where we found him. So community and consistency. The last building block I want to give you this evening before we close is comfort. I don't know about you, but I try to be as comfortable as I possibly can in any and every situation. How many people are like this? I like to be comfortable. I got my comfortable clothes on. My wife says I can't wear my comfy clothes outside the house anymore. My Target comfy clothes. Hashtag Target, looking for a sponsorship or a gift card or discount, anything. We seek comfort. John 15, 1 through 2 says this, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. If community is the roots and consistency the stem, pruning, comfort is the branches and leaves. The leaves and branches represent different areas in our lives. For some of us, it's addictions or habits, relationships or a group of friends, possessions or freedoms. Or for some of us, maybe we've reached a level of comfortable faith and we've decided we don't want to grow anymore. We've decided that we've gone far enough because we like this stage of Christianity. I've given up the things that I was, you know, okay with giving up. I was okay with surrendering this much time or giving this much money. Have you ever seen a tree? We had the pleasure of going to one of our friends' cabins in Glenville on Memorial Day. And there's so many beautiful trees up there, but there is a lot of trees due to the fires and the drought that are now, they're sky high, but all they are empty branches. I have a tree in my front yard and a tree in my backyard that are suffering from a similar thing because I never pruned their branches and leaves. And so they just sit there, lifeless. Though many of us have seen pictures of a huge eagle's nest high in the branches of a tree or in the crag of a cliff, few of us have gotten a glimpse inside. When a mother eagle builds her nest, she starts with thorns, broken branches, sharp rocks, and a number of other items that seem entirely unsuitable for the project. But then she lines the nest with a thick padding of wool, feathers, and fur from animals she has killed, making it soft and comfortable for the eggs. By the time the growing birds reach flying age, the comfort of the nest and the luxury of free meals makes them quite reluctant to leave. That's when the mother eagle begins stirring up the nest. With her strong talons, she begins pulling up the thick carpet of fur and feathers, bringing the sharp rocks and branches to the surface. As more of the bedding gets plucked up, the nest becomes more uncomfortable for the young eagles. Eventually, this and other urgings prompt the growing eagles to leave their once comfortable abode and move on to more mature behavior. Rabbi Abram Heschel observed, faith like Job's cannot be shaken because it is the result of having been shaken. See, if we want to continue to grow, and I would say that, you know, for a lot of people, we reach this point, and this is the point where we become stagnant, the comfort level of our faith. The getting out of the comfort zone and going out and feeding the hungry or visiting the prisoners. We just don't have time for that. We're busy for that. Getting involved in a community where we could possibly help those around us in this hospital that we have here. We just don't have time for that, or we're not those type of people. We stop here at our comfort zone, and yet we're standing like trees and we have roots, yet there's nothing on our branches because all the leaves have fallen off because we have not allowed God to prune us and shape us and take us to the next level. Eternal life is amazing. Your desire to be comfortable could be hindering your growth, and your inability to let something go could be keeping you from the amazing things that God has planned for you. Why grow? Why does God want us to grow? This is the big question, right? Why do I have to grow? Why do I have to give up my comfort? Why do I have to, you know, be consistent in my walk with God? Why do I need to get involved in a community? Why do I have to grow? Why can't I just come to church, say I believe in Jesus, I really mean it in my heart, and that's it? Why can't God be happy with that? Because I am a firm believer that we are learning and growing here on earth for heaven. I don't believe that when we get to heaven, automatically our brains are going to be like, yes, I love Jesus and I'm all these things, patient, kind, and loving because I'm here floating on clouds. I don't believe that we're immediately going to have all of those things. I believe that we are being shaped here on earth, that when we get to heaven, we are actually going to want to be there with Jesus for all eternity. He's coming back for his bride. He's coming back for us. And we need to grow. He wants us to grow to get, when we get there, that we actually want to be in heaven. That it's a place that we actually want to be because we have a relationship with him. Psalms 1:1-3, and I'll close with this. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And whatever he does, he prospers. Chills, bro, chills. Let's pray. God, I do not want to stand up here as if I'm somebody who has arrived. As I prayed earlier this evening, God, I told you I'm just scratching the surface with my faith, with my perseverance, my endurance. I'm just scratching the surface. But God, I pray that you would cause people in this room to have the wherewithal to let go of their comfort, to let go of the things that maybe make them uncomfortable, God, and get involved in community, to build some consistency, and to allow you to prune them. God, give them the strength. It's only by your might. It's only by you. So start stirring and shaking in them. I pray a revival in this church. I pray a revival in this church of love and passion and community, that we could be like the church of Acts, where we are selling our possessions and seeing what everybody else needs and giving and loving and just being a body, working together. We love you, God. We love you. If you're in this room and you've never given your life to Jesus, these people up here are ready to pray for you. If you're in this room and you're dealing with hurt and you're dealing with pain, and if you're in this room, you're dealing with porn, you're dealing with depression, you're dealing with anxiety, these people are up here to pray for you. Whatever it is that you need, do yourself the favor and come up here and get prayer this evening. God, we thank you that you are good. You are good. You are good. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen, amen. Amen. I appreciate you guys. Have a blessed rest of the evening.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King, here is our